Uh-oh, he brought a little extra book today. I wonder what that's about. You'll find out later. So I do have a story for you today. It's all about a young man who had just graduated from engineering school, and he goes off and applies for a job at a company. And at the end of the interview, the human resource person says, "I just want to ask you one more question. What kind of salary do you envision for yourself if we offer you this job?" And the young man said, "I'm thinking somewhere in the area of $200,000, depending on the benefit package." And so the HR person said, "Well, as far as the benefit package is concerned, what would you say to 4 weeks vacation, 14 paid holidays, full medical coverage, including dental, a matching program up to 50% of your salary, and every 2 years, a brand new leased car, like a nice shiny Corvette?" And the young man says, "Well, that's incredible. You got to be kidding." And the HR guy said, "Yeah, but you started it." I want to start by asking you a question today, something I think is a very practical question. And that is, if I asked you to give me a number, a dollar amount, how much you would need to take you from where you are today until the day you die. And the number could be anything you want. You know, I'm not really talking about winning an $800 million mega lottery here, but what amount of dollars would you foresee would be necessary for you to live a life of comfort, to live a lifestyle that you really, really want for you, yourself and your family? What would that amount be? Just asking you to think about that for just a second. And I once heard of kind of a funny quip from Dean Martin that's related to this, because he once made the statement, "I have all the money I ever will need right now until the day I die." And when somebody asked him, "Really, is that so?" And he said, "Absolutely, positively, unless I want to buy something." But I'm not going on that line. I really want you just to think and go along with that for a little bit. It's so interesting how spirit works. 2 weeks ago, I was really pressed to come up with a talk title for today. And I really had no clue what I was going to talk about, what I was going to say, but the word ceilings kept popping into my brain for some reason. And so today we're dealing with a talk that is called High Ceilings. And as I began to pray and reflect on what it was that I would share with you this morning, I came to the realization in almost every talk that I give, I really try to challenge you, at least a little bit. You know, something to get you off of the schneid. Something to get you to appreciate that regardless of where you are, you know, whatever level of consciousness, whatever level of awareness that you have, there's something higher and greater waiting for you. There's a sense of wondering. There's a sense of discovery that's waiting right around the corner. And as I began to prepare even more on the heels of that realization, I had another realization that all of this prodding and urging that I've been doing with you week after week, I really never got into the how or the why of it all. You know, what is really necessary to bring about meaningful change in your life? And I know from time to time I have talked, and as did Reverend Jan, about the significance, the importance of prayer being a really important component to this. But even with this, never really talked about what's a right mindset to go into prayer as you begin work to making really powerful, effective change in your life. And so today we're going to talk about ceilings, high ceilings. And a couple of weeks ago, I was watching a show that I mentioned to you once before, House Hunters. And there was a couple that were visiting houses, looking at possibilities for them to buy. And when they walked into this one house, the husband, the young man, immediately had a look of discomfort on his face. And he kind of was going like this. And he commented about how low the ceilings were in this house. And they never said how high or low the ceilings were. But I think it was possible they might even have been a little bit below 8 feet. And in addition to this, there were a couple of rooms that had ceiling fans, which lowered things even more. And he just kept commenting about this. And he continued the tour through the rest of the house. But all the while, he was just slightly crouched or bent over, feeling impinged upon. And obviously, this was not the house that they ended up buying, because he didn't want his life always feeling like, you know, he's being oppressed, that the world was crashing in on him. We don't tend to spend a lot of time thinking about our ceilings. We absolutely spend a lot more time thinking about our floors, and not in the sense of standing tall or being grounded, but more in a sense of being mired in the muck of it all and having to deal with all of those things that we have to deal with. And we tend to spend a lot of time in our lives trying to get rid of things, make them go away, or overcome those things that are bogging us down. And all of us do this to a certain extent because we all have a certain amount of baggage. But there's a risk involved. Because if we're doing this constantly, and that's our focus constantly, we could reach that mental state in which we just kind of say, well, I guess what is, is. But the moment that we do that, the moment we shrug our shoulders about life and what it's all about, what we are really doing is not focusing so much on our floor, but on our ceilings. Because when we're about the business of life and trying to overcome the problems and the issues, it's not our floor that is really at stake, but our ceilings. And so, like the young man in the House Hunters episode, you know, we could come to feel encroached upon and burdened and confined instead of having a clearer perception of what actually is our particular ceiling in life. And I believe that this is a very significant spiritual and psychological principle. And I actually think there's a little bit of science to back this up. If you ever had an aquarium or even a small fish bowl with fish in it, you probably understand that the size of the fish is going to be directly related, directly proportional to the size of the aquarium. And there are certain species of animals that if they are forced to live a life in cages, in close confinement, it will actually stunt their growth. And a plant will not grow, and it will actually die if it's not given enough space, if it's not given enough room. And have you ever been in a house or lived in a house that has a crawl space in either the attic or the basement? And even if you haven't, if you just would look inside, you would understand that it's called a crawl space for a reason. Because if you go in there, the only method of movement that you have open to you is to crawl. There certainly is not enough room for you to stand up and to walk about. So from a spiritual and metaphysical view, what determines how high our ceilings are? Well, it's our parents who constantly told us all of the things that we can't do, right? And it was our teachers who told us and taught us that we need to be reasonable, right? And it's our partners and our spouses and our loved ones that have shattered our dreams, right? It's our religion that taught us how to pray, "Oh Lord, I am not worthy," right? And it's the world that constantly is measuring us, telling us, sending us the message that we are lacking, that we are not enough, right? But today, this morning, the answer is different. Because today, this morning, the answer to all of those scenarios and hundreds of other similar situations, the answer is not right. The answer is wrong, 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 wrong. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not trying to deny that these messages come at us in life, and I'm not trying to deny that we haven't lived through these types of experiences. But what I actually am trying to tell you this morning is that these things do not determine how high your ceiling is. How high your ceiling is determined by you and you alone. Life is not like moving into a house in which the ceiling height is already predetermined. In life, you actually get to choose how high the ceiling is for you. So if you want to live under grand vaulted cathedral ceilings, then you have at it. You go for it. In the world of sports, players are evaluated, they're chosen, they're drafted, not just based upon the raw talent, but also based upon their potential. They're constantly being reviewed and evaluated in terms of expectations of what teams think that they can do. Scouts are always trying to seek out that intangible part of them. How hungry are they? How badly do they want it? How important is winning for them? But potential is a really funny thing. If you tell somebody who's relatively young you have potential, you're paying them a compliment. But as we get older, maybe not so much. As we get older and potential is being discussed, maybe we feel that there's an element of judgment going on. And this is for a reason. It's because as we get older and we talk about potential, there's that aspect of something not being used, something not being tapped into. A talent, a gift that really hasn't been shared. Your potential, your ceiling, is very much related to your sense of purpose. Think about it. What would be the value of being able to fly if you never had anywhere to go? And maybe you feel some frustration in your life. Maybe you feel stymied because you have been measuring yourself up against someone else's purpose in life. And if you do this long enough for an extended period of time, you might actually come to feel that you lack potential altogether. And when this happens, the answer isn't to just to down or stay in bed and brood over it. The answer to this is to get up and adopt a sense of purpose in your life, a sense of purpose that will elevate your personal ceiling. If you're constantly going around thinking and affirming all of the things that you cannot do, then all you are doing is lowering your ceiling because you do not have expectations. And one of the harsh realities of life is what you expect is what you get. Just 2 days ago, on Friday, a service person came into my home to replace a window shade that had been broken. And I got to talking to him, and I said, how long have you been doing this? And he said, 34 years. And I said, wow, that's a long time. I hope it's, you know, fulfilling for you that you're happy doing what you're doing. And his response was, no, not really. But now I'm 57 years old. And no one's about to take me on. No one's about to hire me. And I got to make a living. So every day I come out and I do the things that I do. And I thought about this and I said to myself, it's certainly not my place or anybody else's to cast judgment upon this fellow. But at the same time, I couldn't help feeling that there was an element of sadness about this. You know, and it's sad to view somebody, to see somebody who's in this situation. But it doesn't compare to the sadness that we might feel if we look in the mirror and we come to view ourselves in that kind of a light. Nothing lowers your ceiling more than complacency. When you become complacent and you adopt that attitude of, well, I guess that's what life is about, you not only are complacent, you've become complicit in the whole thing. You've crossed a line. You are no longer a martyr or a victim in this situation. Your ceiling is not your past history. And your past experiences cannot determine your ceiling for you. Your past histories, even if they are positive, positive or negative, when you become mired in them, they only serve to develop in you a mindset limiting who you are and what you can do. Mindset, mindset, mindset. At long last, we come to the how of this whole thing. Your ceiling, high or low, is not dependent upon how people treated you your entire life. Your ceiling, high or low, is not related to limits that have been placed on you by loved ones. Your ceiling, high or low, is not dependent upon the number of awards and praise that you might have received in your life. And your ceiling, high or low, is not dependent upon whether people have called you names or regarded you as smart or stupid. Your ceiling is strictly dependent upon the mindset that you have chosen to adopt and to foster and to develop in response to all of this kind of feedback, all of this input in your life. There was an extensive scientific study that was done. And what happened is the research people interviewed people just as they were going into the senior stage of life. And after the interview, subjects were placed into one of two categories. One category were those people who were embarking upon this stage of their life with a sense of dread and expressing all sorts of concerns about going downhill and medical conditions that were going to crop up and limitations on mobility and, of course, death. And the other group were a group of seniors that had a very optimistic view about life and what was going to take place. And they viewed this last stage of their life as something that was going to be a sense of adventure, a time of discovery, a time for meet with other people and have different experiences. And so the research team kept tabs on these two groups. And after a long while, they found a very interesting statistic. The group that was optimistic actually lived on average 8 years longer than the group that embarked upon the whole thing with a sense of dread. When I was a young man, I had a very specific financial goal. I wanted to earn a certain amount of money, a certain salary in my lifetime. And the truth is, I got there relatively quickly. And then something interesting happened. I leveled off. And when I reflected back later on of what really was going on and the why of it all, I came to realize I leveled it off because that's the ceiling I had set for myself. I sold myself short. And when I reached that ceiling, I lost a sense of risk-taking. I lost a sense of being aggressive, and I settled in. And so I got exactly what I wanted. Forever. And it wasn't the fault of my job, and it wasn't the fault of my boss that I didn't keep elevating. Absolutely. Again, what you expect is what you get. There is something called the Pygmalion effect. And this is a very simple principle. It states that if your expectations are high, your performance will be high. And if your expectations are low, your performance will be low. And the expectations that's talked about in this Pygmalion effect is not expectations that other people have of you, but expectations that you have of yourself. And if you have ever been involved in a corporate setting in which they do very official evaluations and reviews, there's a scale that is frequently used. You know, you are judged and evaluated at the low point and labeled failed to meet expectations. And from there you go to the middle point of met expectations. And if you get a great review, then you've moved to exceeded expectations. Well, that middle part, met expectations, that's the bar that's set. That's the ceiling that is actually set by the company. So if you really want to get a rating of exceeds expectations, you have to have a bar that you have developed for yourself that is even higher, a ceiling that is even higher than the expectations imposed upon you by the company. And it brings home the point very concretely that once again, your ceiling cannot be determined by anybody else's opinion of you. I open with this exercise inviting you to think about how much money you would need between now and when you cross the finish line. And I really wish that we had time to draw out of you what some of those numbers were. And maybe you'll feel comfortable sharing them downstairs with myself or others. But the comment I want to make about that now is whatever number you came up with, it would not be unreasonable if you were to double it. Our co-founder, Charles Fillmore, said, if you need $100, don't sell yourself short. Ask God for $200. What you expect, you get. Throughout the scriptures, there's all kinds of evidence, all kinds of prodding and urging that we should have high ceilings for ourselves. And so, for example, in the book of Jeremiah, the Lord, speaking through the prophet, says, "For I know the plans I have for you, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future." And as we mentioned frequently in this church, our way shower Jesus had a very simple direct line. All that I do, you will do and more. Talk about a high ceiling. And Paul in one of his letters writes, the eye has not seen nor the ear heard what God has prepared for those who love him. And from the book, The Acts of the Apostles, we are told, God says, I will pour out my spirit on everyone. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. and your old men will dream dreams. We all think of comfort as a good thing, and it is. It's something that all of us need from time to time, or maybe something that all of us need always, at least a little bit. But the thing about comfort is it does not age well. We try to hang on to it as desperately as we possibly can. But eventually it becomes stale. It might even become unhealthy as we're trying to do the things in life that we're trying to do. And so we need to replenish our comfort. We have to find new comfort by once again moving forward, once again subscribing to a much higher ceiling for ourselves in our life. I once was blessed to be part of a very vibrant church. It was vibrant because it was hungry. It was vibrant because it was truly alive. And we very much celebrated who we were. I think that the real enthusiasm that was part of that community was a sense and understanding of what we were yet to become. Well, eventually, what took place is a lot of that enthusiasm, that zeal, kind of drifted off. And we kind of settled in. And there was some drop-off in membership. And I remember going up to a member who was incredibly active in this church. And I said, "What's going on? I haven't seen you around." And they responded, "Just don't feel it like I used to." And I really think that what happened in this case, as much as we continued to celebrate who we were, that we sold ourselves short, that we could have raised the bar, that we could have raised the ceiling even higher. And it would have meant that we would have thrived even more, even longer. In baseball, major league pitchers today are doing something phenomenal. They are now throwing a baseball in excess of 100 miles per hour, some of them as high as 105 to 107 miles per hour. This is something that absolutely was unheard of 20, 25 years ago. And a reporter was being interviewed, and they asked his opinion, "How high do you think it could go that a human being can throw a ball?" And his response, I thought, was really profound. He just simply said, "You know, we really don't know. We don't know what the limit is." I want to share with you a brief passage that was written in my 8th grade autograph book. This was written by somebody that I respected very, 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 very much. And he said simply, "Mike, set your goals in life high enough so that you at least can hit the midpoint." Well, I have to tell you, when I read that, I didn't like it. I thought that a judgment was being made about my ability to reach the high note. And I was disturbed about it enough that I went to this individual and I said, "Why did you write that about me? You know, I really feel like you're putting me down." And he said, no, you just really understood the message. We have this tendency in life, human beings have this tendency not to shoot high enough, to have a very low set of goals. And I wasn't making any negative judgments about your potential. He says, on the contrary, I was just trying to send you a little poke so that you could maximize your potential and develop it as fully as you possibly could. How high is the ceiling? How high is it for you? How high is it for me? How high is it for us? How high is it for our little family of Unity of Fox Valley. You know, I look at you people, and in all sincerity, I gaze upon you and I'm filled with a sense of wonder. You people are absolutely wonderful and incredible. And I spend a lot of time boasting about you, bragging about you. You know, the last couple of weeks when people are coming to me and saying, Mike, how is the new full-time job going? But I have to tell you something. All of that notwithstanding, the ceiling that I envision for you, the ceiling that I envision for me, the ceiling that I envision for us, is much, much higher. And so I just want to revert back to the wisdom of that little blurb that was written in my silly autograph book, because it gives me an understanding that the pain of falling short can't possibly compare to the pain of stopping short. So now I invite you very simply, guided by Spirit, let's do this thing. And let's take it to prayer and meditation.